Philemon chapter 1, of course. And I was thankful for that song, "This World Is Not My Home," because for sure that was written by a Southerner. And if you don't believe me, just sing it. And if a little twang don't come out while you're singing it, you're singing it wrong. That was good. Every once in a while, I like to just let the hick hang out a little bit. That song helps us out. So, but I will say it's a blessing to see so many kids developing their talents musically. Isn't that a blessing? I know there's some, and we're going to work on getting them into some specials as well, still. But anyways, but it's a blessing. You know, I mean, the world doesn't have to get all the best musicians. They shouldn't. The Lord should get them, right? And so what a blessing to see developing and next generation of church pianists and who knows, right? And so anyways, what a blessing that is for sure. But as we think about fellow labor this afternoon, for a few moments, it brought us to the book of Philemon. And our message today is not going to deal with the entire book of Philemon, though it is a short one. The letter here from Paul to Philemon is, there's a lot there. I was just diving into it a little bit and was like, wow, there's a message and there's another message and there's another message. And you guys don't want to be here that long, all right? So, but either way, so I just want to be sure, and I know that it's not dealing with the whole book, but just kind of focusing in on these first seven verses. Kind of hopefully learn a little bit more about being a fellow laborer. The Bible says in Philemon 1:1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And that's where we'll conclude our reading. And so even, you know, it's interesting, as Paul writes in many of the books that God allowed him to write, you just start unpacking just as he's greeting people. Man, that guy's got so much packed into a greeting. You know, most of my greetings are, hey, so, you doing all right? Hope so. Glad to see you. Right? But even as Paul just, even in his greeting, you're like, whoa, man, that's some good stuff. So as we look this afternoon, we are going to look at these seven verses, and I'll just tell you the game plan. The game plan is this, that as he mentions that Philemon is a fellow laborer, he then goes into the type of person that Philemon is. And it really gives us an insight as to what a fellow laborer is. And so that's what we're going to look at this afternoon just for a few moments. If you would, join me in prayer. Lord, we are thankful so much for your many blessings to us. And you know, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this afternoon, God. And I thank you that you just help us today. I know everybody's had a busy day and things, but I just pray that you'd help us to focus in on your word for a few moments. And God, I pray that you would help us. God, I pray that you'd help us to learn to be a fellow laborer. And God, I pray that we would take seriously your work, and that we would join in on it. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon. I pray that you'd just use me, and I pray that you would speak through the message today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Paul writes to Philemon, the truth is that it's a very personal letter. If you really think about what goes on through the whole book here, but it's a very personal letter written from Paul that the Lord just allows us to have the insight there, to get to see it, to get to hear about it. And so Paul calls Philemon a fellow laborer there in verse number 1, of course, and then by default just describes to us what a fellow laborer is, all right? So we're just going to dive right into it. And first of all, what we find about this man Philemon, who is a fellow laborer, is that he leads his family to be dedicated to their local church. Now, where'd you see that, right? Okay. Well, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." So here's what's happening is Apphia is his wife, right? And so beloved Apphia is his wife. And then Archippus, we would find that is actually a fellow soldier there, is quite possibly actually his son. And so as some commentaries, we would see there that quite possibly his son who pastored actually at the Church of Colossae. And we find that though over there in Colossians 4:17 is where we would find that at. But we find that either way, what had happened is that we find that the church here is meeting in his house. I mean, you can't get much more committed than that, right? All right, everybody, show up at my house today. How about not? All right, we love y'all, but that might not work so well, all right? But do you get what I'm saying is that the church as it's meeting together is literally meeting in their house. So every service time, they're putting out the chairs, they're making sure that the living room's clean, you know, all the stuff's put away. And not only are they just attending their church, listen, but they're serious about it, that they're involved in it, that they're committed to their church. And he wasn't just an attender, but I would say this, sacrificially being a part of their church, right? So, I mean, sacrificially, that's a pretty big sacrifice. I mean, I got a 4-year-old. That's a big deal to have everybody come over to my house. I mean, mainly I'll throw it on him, but, and just gets messy at the house, right? And I know I'm just joking a little bit, but at the same time, we see him being committed to his church, willing to sacrifice, willing to host the church at his house multi times. And not just himself, but we see his family being a part of it as well. And so it is something to be said that as we start off with being a fellow laborer, we got to understand that as he calls Philemon this fellow laborer, that we see that Philemon was sacrificially involved in his church. Okay, this would be an attribute of a fellow laborer, that sacrificially involved in the ministry of their church. Secondly, we would say this, that a fellow laborer is one that others are thankful for. Is one that others are thankful for. Verse number 4, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." Do you think the Apostle Paul had a lot to pray about? Right? He talks about all that he's gone through. In the New Testament, he talks about the fact that, you remember when he gives that passage where he's going through that I've been shipwrecked, I've been beat, I've experienced prison so many times. You know, I've always heard it that Paul never went to the local hotel, he just went to the local jail to see how his accommodations were going to be, right? But literally, so he talks about all these things that he's going through. He's going through the persecution of people coming against him as he's preaching. But then he specifically says in that passage of Scripture that also the daily task and the daily work of pastoring the churches and to be a help and the preaching responsibilities and everything. And he wasn't whining or complaining. He was just saying, hey, the Lord's allowed me to do a lot and be a part of a lot where he had a lot going on. And so his ministry, his missionary journeys, starting churches, reaching the lost, preaching and all those types of things. He had a lot going on. And what he says is this, that Philemon made such an impression on me that when he goes to his times of prayer, he's thanking God for Philemon. He's thanking God for it. You see, now to help us understand what this word of fellow laborer, we need to define it, which would be this, that a fellow laborer is one who labors in the same business or design. So what we're saying is that with the Apostle Paul being so busy in the ministry and working, what he's doing is he's thankful for people that come along and are going the same way. That they got the same thought in mind, right? Paul was witnessing everywhere, right? That's what got thrown in jail. That's what got him beat. That's what got him persecuted so much, was that he was preaching to the lost and he was trying to reach out. And what he's saying is this, that as Philemon is a fellow laborer, He's thankful for somebody doing the same work. That he's a fellow laborer. He's laboring in the same business. That God's work is a very important part of Philemon's life. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me just tell you where we're going with this. And that is this. You ever had somebody who come to help that the biggest help they were was leaving? Right? I heard this a lot, right? If you have one teenage boy helping you out, you got one worker. If you got two of them, you got about a half a worker. And if you get three of them, you got squat. Right? No, I riding hard on them a little bit. But do you understand that when sometimes when people come to help, they just be a problem the whole time they're there? You know, it's like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm going to move this dirt pile from here to there. And the whole time, oh, you're not doing that right. Let me have that shovel. Let me show you how to do it. I think I know how to move dirt. It's not that hard. Not that amount of dirt, you know. And the whole time, they're a pain in the neck. Come on, we know what we're talking about. That ultimately, there's sometimes I'm praying a different prayer. Like maybe something like David prayed in the Psalms. Lord, break the teeth of the ungodly. Right? But at the same time, what we're seeing here is that ultimately, Paul was thankful for Philemon because he was laboring in the same work. That he took seriously the work of the Lord. That he was not just, well, you know, okay, well, maybe I'll help out a little bit here and help out a little bit there. But ultimately, what we see here is that Paul was thankful for him because he was headed in the same direction. He was joining up with the work. He was literally being a help. And every time, regularly, Paul goes to the Lord in prayer and he says, Lord, thank you. For Philemon. Thank you that he's helping. Thank you that he's working with me. Right? It is difficult when you're working against a lot of other people and a lot of other circumstances. And so when you have somebody, you know, as I mentioned, Paul shows up to a city and by the time he's done preaching, everybody hates him. You don't think that Paul would get discouraged at times? Sure, Paul wasn't a saint, as in what we think of a saint is just perfect and, oh, ah, hallowed Paul. He was a man just given to like passions like we are. Remember he said that the things I want to do, I don't do those, but the things I don't want to do, I do those. He was like us. And Paul would get discouraged at times, and yet we find that Philemon would come and just help him and head in that same direction of reaching out and working for the Lord. And so Paul was thankful for him. So as we think about fellow laborer and just and what it means is that ultimately it's a person that we're thankful for because they're headed in the same direction. The same direction. Verse number 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Let's break it down a little bit farther in this. A fellow laborer has love for Jesus and love for the saints. What does it mean to be a fellow laborer? Well, it means that you love Jesus. And you have a love for the saints. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know, right? You know where this goes. That ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Jesus said the disciples, hey, you know, the disciples didn't always get along very well. Hey, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Me. My mom says it's me. Right? That was the fight they would have. But ultimately, Jesus says this. Hey, yeah, I mean, Jesus allowed and he gave power to the disciples to do great and marvelous works. I mean, they were given those gifts where they could heal people and things of that nature. And God gave them those gifts for that time. But here's what he says that people will know you by, is if you love one another. You know why some people have a hard time with Christianity? Because even Christians can't get along. But what we find about a fellow laborer is, first of all, like I said, just breaking it down a little bit farther, is this, that they love fellow believers. Now, I understand, and very biblically, there just because it has the title Christian on it doesn't mean that we can fellowship. Okay, we understand that. You want to go? You want to see that? Go to a Christian bookstore. Walk in there and say, "Ooh, a lot of different things going on in here," right? But ultimately, what we're seeing and what we need to be reminded of is that our fellow believers here are people that we should love. I wrote down a few things. I wrote down this. Will I rejoice when others rejoice? And I'm talking about believers here. Amongst ourselves, okay? Will I rejoice when they rejoice? Will I cry when they cry? Will I help when they need help? Will I pray when they need prayer? Will I love them? You see, sometimes we're more frustrated by each other than we are more than we make important the fact that we love one another. We're going to frustrate each other. We're people. My wife will tell me sometimes I'm an idiot. But the truth is, sometimes we'll be frustrated by each other. But as God's people, if we're going to be fellow laborers, we need to have love one for another. Love one for another. You see, so the question we could ask then is here as a fellow laborer, Philemon loves the saints is what it says. And so it talks about fellow believers. Most importantly here also is this, do I love the Lord? In youth group right now, what we're going through is having a walk with the Lord. Last Sunday, this Sunday, the next few Sundays, that's what we're talking about in the youth group, is not just knowing about Jesus, but having a friendship and a relationship with Him. And sometimes we're thankful for what Jesus does. Aren't you thankful that He saves? Right, I'm super thankful for that. I'm super thankful that He is concerned with the things that are going on in my life. And sometimes I'm so focused on that I appreciate what He does that I forget to love Him for who He is. You see, if we're going to be a fellow laborer in the work of the Lord, we're going to love one another. But we're going to love one another because we first love Jesus. Now all that ties together to this. The truth is, if I'm having a love problem with fellow believers, you know where I'm headed. The truth is, I'm having a problem with loving Jesus. Let me prove it. Let's turn over to John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. A lot of familiar verses here. But in 1 John chapter number 4, there's a lot of verses we could read, but let's just boil it down to a couple. Verse number 19, verse we know are very familiar with, and that is, we love Him because He first loved us. But verse 20 continues on and says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So if we're going to be a fellow laborer, then we're going to be loving one another, and the way we're going to do that is by loving Jesus. And if I have a problem with loving people, I need to go back to that relationship that, hey, am I loving Jesus how I should? Because if I'm loving Jesus how I should, guess what? I'm going to be loving who He loves. And many times we'll not be a fellow laborer because we're more frustrated by each other. You know, we don't do everything the same way. We're not cookie cutters. Some of y'all don't like Dr. Pepper, and we're praying for you. Hey, that's because I'm saved. No, just kidding. But going to the deeper things, sometimes the reason why we're having a problem with being fellow laborers together is the truth is we're not loving each other like we should. Well, why am I not loving the fellow believers like I should? Because I'm not loving Jesus how I should. And so what Paul talks about Philemon is that here, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And if we'll put that in perspective, if we'll put it in the right position to say this, that if I'm going to be a fellow laborer, if I'm going to be working in the ministry of this church, then what I need is I need to love Jesus and love my fellow believers. Now he doesn't stop with just love. He also talks about faith. Fourth point here, fellow laborers have faith in Jesus and the saints, is what it says. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Here's the question I have in this part. To be a fellow laborer, one must be a person of faith. A person of faith. My brother down in Texas just this last Sunday had, they call it Creation Sunday. And there's a former pastor in the area that, Brother Steve Foster's dead. And he was a scientist and did all sorts of things and has a lot of knowledge that the Lord's allowed him to get. And so he comes for a Sunday and they preach about creation and just kind of break it down. And the way my brother describes it is this, that a lot of times our world, you're either a person of science or a person of faith, right? And so what their goal is to understand that you can be both, right? Science doesn't disprove God. It proves Him. And so my point being is this, is that we have got to be people of faith. People of faith. We've got to believe and trust God. We want to see God do great things in our church. We want to see Him fill this place up. We want to see Gillette reached. We want to see Campbell County reached. We want to see all those things take place. But here's the truth. We're going to have faith in the fact that God can do that. If we don't have faith, guess what? We're on way worse than seeking sand. We're in a mess. We have no foundation if our faith isn't first placed in the Lord Jesus. And what he says is, Philemon, you're a fellow laborer. Well, what makes him a fellow laborer is, well, you love Jesus and you love the saints and you have faith in God. And the question is, many times, do we have faith in God? Yes, I believe that God can do great things, but do you trust that God is working in your life and in your circumstances and working on your family and in the midst of your very life situation? And that's where it is, hey, we've got to be people of faith. Faith. Philemon trusted God. He trusted God. And God used him because he trusted him. But also it talks about having faith in the saints. Are people going to let you down? Of course. We're people. You see, that's the wonderful thing about first putting our faith in Christ. He'll never let us down. Perfect. Never going to just say, well, I dropped the ball on that. No, not with God. But sometimes we don't have faith in mankind very well. Sometimes people letting us down turns us into a cynical or extremely closed off people to trusting others. And that can happen even in the midst of a church. Well, you know, they said something to me sometime and I just keep them at an arm's length. And what happens is that it doesn't help us being fellow laborers. It kind of keeps us at odds with each other. and a house divided can't stand. So, and the truth is, Philemon, that's where the part that we weren't going to get into very much, is that Philemon has been hurt by people. The rest of the book of Philemon is the fact that his servant stole from him and ran off. And what we find is that Philemon is still serving the Lord. Philemon was still a fellow laborer, even though he experienced people letting him down, people hurting him. He continued to be a fellow laborer. And so Paul was going to continue and help him to make sure that he was headed down the right path, that he was making the right decision, that he was following the Lord. But ultimately, we see that that fellow laborers are people of faith. Now, when we get to number five here this afternoon, this is one of the most important for sure. If we're going to be fellow laborers, is this: fellow laborers share the gospel. Fellow laborers share the gospel. Verse number six, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul desires that Philemon's soul-winning efforts are productive. So when he talks about him being a fellow laborer, we got to be reminded that, listen, that Philemon was not just going to church. He wasn't just loving Jesus, having faith in Jesus. It wasn't that he was just loving and having faith in the saints. No, ultimately this, he was sharing the gospel. He was telling others about Christ. He was sharing his faith. And even what Paul is praying and what he desires is that as he shares his faith more and more, that it'll be effectual, that it'll be effective, that when he's reaching to the lost, hey, listen, that his communication, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. He wants him to be an effective soul winner. He wants him to, as he's sharing his faith, that it's useful, that it's helping others. You see, fellow laborers share the faith with others. Listen to this: acknowledging that anything good in them is a work of the Lord. It's a work of the Lord. You know, sometimes we come to church and I mean, I'm looking around, man. We're looking pretty good today. We're dressed up, you know, looking nice and sharp and all those types of things. But let me just tell you, we didn't always look this way. I mean, I know I grew up in a pastor's home and got saved at a pretty young age. But at the same time, listen, hey, I didn't always love Jesus. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I'm serious. We didn't always love Jesus. We didn't always have everything put together. We've been a mess. We've been scarred by sin and living for the devil and doing those types of things. And listen, and if you see anything good in these pews today, listen, it's the Lord working in us. And our goal is then that we share it with others. Listen, your testimony is the greatest tool that you have to witness to the lost. That's what your testimony is for. That's why it matters how we behave. It matters how we act. It matters how we live our life on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because the goal is to share the gospel and to be effective in doing that. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes in my life, I've been such a dummy where I say something dumb or I act a fool. I get mad, I get angry. And right after it, right when I'm starting to calm down, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit looks at me and says, he just speaks to me and he says, you ready to give him a gospel tract now? Ah! No? Maybe tomorrow. But listen, that's what sharing our faith is. That's what using our testimony to communicate the gospel to others effectively is, the fact that, hey, that we're loving Jesus, that we're loving the saints, that we have faith in God, that we're a part of a church, that we're sacrificially a part of it. All of that is working together for the main goal of being a fellow laborer, and that is that we're reaching to the lost. That we're reaching to the lost. It doesn't matter whether you're outgoing, whether you like to be in front of people, or whether you hate to be in front of people. God is giving us the responsibility to be fellow laborers in sharing the gospel. Sometimes we use our personalities as a reason as to why I don't share the gospel. I think in my own mind, I think about the fact that I try to be an outgoing person and sometimes I like to be at the house where everybody leaves me alone. But what I've got to keep in mind is that being a fellow laborer of Christ, listen, it's not about me just going into seclusion. Listen, we're all frustrated by people at times. But at the same time, we got to be serious about the work of sharing the gospel, about sharing our faith with others. This idea of being a fellow laborer is something that we should all be in the work of the Lord. When fellow labor is used in the Bible, it's always directly tied to sharing the gospel. So we've got to be sharing the gospel. Aren't we thankful that somebody shared the gospel with us? So our goal then should be in return to share the gospel with others. Our testimony will be the greatest tool that God uses as an effective soul winning. And remember that soul winning is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And a reminder is that ultimately we're never going to be perfect. Not this side of heaven. There's going to be times that we fail. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible on purpose. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There will be days when we're trying to witness to the lost that our efforts will fail because we're people. But don't let that stop you from doing the work that God has given us to do. You see, He's given it to us as a church, the Great Commission. He gave His commission to Central Baptist Church of Gillette, Wyoming. He gave it to us. That's our job. Our job is to go out, to share the gospel with others. And here's what it's going to take. Everybody working. All of us. Brother Bo, I get to pick on you right now. All right? Brother Bo, the guys you work with, I might never meet them. I might never meet them. Brother Wayne, might never meet the people that your neighbors, people you work with, might not ever meet them. However long the Lord allows me to live here. Hopefully it's a long time. But either way, understand how us all working together, we look around and the different jobs that people have, the different neighbors, all those types of things. You know, God put us together to reach them. And sometimes you're the only one that can reach them. So what it takes is all of us laboring together to say this: we need to share the gospel with others. That's how we'll reach out to our community. That's how we'll be effective in our gospel outreach. Now, lastly, everybody's favorite point, verse number 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Here it is. You ready? Fellow laborers are refreshing. Fellow laborers are refreshing. Paul had joy and comfort because Philemon was refreshing. Philemon brought an emotional response to the people that he labored together with. Listen, it's refreshing when you're not having to do it by yourself. Right? We talked about the silly illustration of moving the dirt. I don't know anybody who's just like, man, I just love to have a wheelbarrow, shovel, and just move some dirt. Now, but I will say this, that whenever you're heading in the same direction, listen, when somebody comes along and says, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm moving this dirt. You got another shovel? Oh, I got another one right here. And we just go to the work. We start moving this dirt, man, hey, it's a little bit easier. Got some help. Got somebody to chat with along the way. Somebody that's refreshing and helpful, right? Yeah, it's opposite of that one we were talking about, right? We're praying that they leave, not that they stay. No, but they're refreshing. Listen, when you're going through a tough time in life, maybe some dark days, and somebody from our church comes up next side of you, next to you, beside you, and they just say, I love you. I'm here to help you. Let's do this work together. It's refreshing. It's helpful. I wrote this, not because Pastor made me write it, because I put it in. But here's the question we should ask. Does our pastor feel like he has fellow laborers in the true work of Christ? I'm not saying he doesn't. But what I am saying a little bit more specifically is we're talking about the work of the Lord. Hey, the carpet needs vacuum, right? The grounds need mowed. That's all labor for the Lord. That's a part of it. But if we're going to be the effective church that we're supposed to be, it doesn't just be that I'm helpful in the cleaning ministry. I'm helpful in the junior church program. Those are all wonderful things and we should. But what I'm talking about is, as a fellow laborer, understanding that fellow labor, it's got to boil down to the fact that we're sharing Christ with others. And are we doing that? And I'm closing my eyes on purpose. Because I'm not looking outward when I ask that question. I want to be looking inward of saying, is my pastor refreshed and helped in his ministry of working for the Lord? Because I'm going in the same direction that he's going. We expect our pastor to reach out towards the lost. Sure. But that should mean that we're headed in the same direction. That we're yoking up. That we're joining in the work. And that we're helping reach the lost. Listen, we need all to be helping with the work of the ministry here at Central. We need more labors. We need people to do stuff. We need all of that. But specifically, what we're talking about today about being a fellow laborer is this, that we need people to come alongside all of us, that we love each other, that we love Jesus, that we have faith in Jesus, that we're sacrificially a part of this church, and that ultimately that we're reaching out to the lost. Pastor's been working real hard to remind us about Friend Day coming up next Sunday. And I got to tell you, I have been doing real good about giving out invitations. I've been thinking about people. I got lots of people. You got people you've been thinking about? Yeah, man. It's easy to think about people. Man, they need to be in church. Yeah, I got coworkers now. Before, my coworker, he already came to church, so. All right. You'll get that later. But other coworkers, I mean, seriously, we got people all on our mind. Our neighbors, every time you drive in the neighborhood, you got people. Hey, but here's our goal. Let's labor together to reach out to the lost, to help them to come, to get under the sound of the gospel, that we could reach our community for Christ. Fellow labor. Now, as we think about fellow labor, the illustration that came to my mind, that kind of just kind of helped me put it a little bit together was this. When I was younger, I was probably, 12, 13, something like that. My dad one time, he came to me and he said, hey, you're going to go with me on this visit. I'm like, okay, all right, we're going. Where are we going? Well, we're going to go visit this guy. His name was Kevin. Kevin Frisbee was his name. And he's like, we're going to go visit him. And I was like, okay, all right, let's go. And so Dad would take us out on visitation with him sometimes, and so it was fun. Sometimes it was a little weird, you know, because visiting people sometimes are weird. But we show up that night, and we're sitting there, and Dad's talking to him, and Dad taught me a good lesson, and he's like, really, unless you're spoken to, just zip it. Okay. So I'm just sitting there, and he's having a visit. And all of a sudden, Dad, he just talks to him, and he says, Kevin, you ever been saved? You ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, you know, no, I never have. And Dad, he takes his New Testament, he brought it with him, and he looks at me and he says, Mark, why don't you read some verses as I tell you what verses to read? Okay. So he opened up his Bible and he said, you know, the book of Romans talks about that we're all sinners. Mark, why don't you read that verse? Okay. I read the verse. He looks at him and says, Kevin, you understand that we're all sinners? Yeah, I do. Mark, why don't you turn over to Romans 5:8? Okay. But God committed his love. And that night, Kevin Frisbee bowed his head and accepted Christ as Savior. As a 12-year-old boy, it made an impression on me that night I got to help my dad, who was working for the Lord, reach a lost person. And as best as I can tell, that's what being a fellow laborer is. We just come along, we love each other, we trust each other. We're sacrificially a part of the church. We're doing all that. We're working together for the main goal of this, reaching the lost. So I wrote it all down. So in one conclusion of a sentence, which is really long, a fellow laborer will be dedicated to their local church. People will be thankful that they know them. They will have love and faith toward Jesus Christ and the saints. They will be effectively sharing the gospel and will be a refreshment to the people around them. And all of that in 7 verses in Philemon. And that's just the greeting. But our desire should be this today. I just want to join in on the word. Yeah, sometimes the work will be tasked around here. But our greatest work that Central Baptist Church does, the greatest work, the most important work, it's almost like the one job that God gave us to do, in particular, to reach the lost. And what we can do is we can reach a lot more together. I think Pastor mentioned it today. A lot more together than us individually. And we're all working together, laboring for the work of the Lord, reaching the lost. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us. Help us to be fellow laborers. God, we even see that there are many people in the Bible who are considered fellow laborers. And God, I pray that our names could be amongst that list. God, that we're working together to share the gospel with others. And I pray that you'd help us. Help us today, God. We get so sidetracked. I know I do, God. I pray that you'd help us to labor together for your work, sharing the gospel with others. In Jesus' name.